Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we are going to discuss a sizzling hot topic. Do all religions worship the same God? Sizzling topic, especially in our world today. Do all religions worship the same God? Do the Jehovah's Witnesses worship the same God as Christians? Do the Mormons worship the same God as Christians? Do the Muslims worship the same God as Christians? Do we all worship the same God? Well, I know that as a pastor, especially one who spends most of my year here in Europe, I hear that all the time. I hear people saying, well, there's one God. We all worship the same God. Doesn't matter if he is the God of the Muslims, the God of Buddhists, the God of the Near Eastern religions. We all worship the one God. Do you agree with that statement? I hope you're shaking your head and saying, absolutely not, because we do not worship the same God. Scripture is very clear that there is one true living God, and Scripture is very clear in defining who that one true living God is. In fact, in John chapter 17, Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, early Friday morning, a few short hours before he would be betrayed and arrested and then crucified, Jesus was praying to his Father, God the Father. He was praying in front of his 11 disciples. He had already dismissed Judas for Judas to go out and do what he needed to do, the betrayal of Christ. So there's Jesus a few hours before he would experience hell here on earth. And he is praying to the Father. Again, John 17, the prayer is broken down into three sections. The first section, verses 1 through 5, Jesus is praying to the Father for himself, saying he's praying to be glorified with the Father. The second part of the prayer, verses 6 through 19, Jesus is praying for the 11 disciples who were there present with him. And then verses 20 through 26, Jesus is praying for those who would become disciples of his through the teaching of the 11 who had been inspired by the Holy Spirit to write the pages of the New Testament. So Jesus was praying for you, Christian, 2,000 years ago. Isn't that amazing? Now, in our first section where Jesus was praying for himself, he makes a very, very clear statement about eternal life. In verse 3 of John 17, Jesus says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you." Remember, he's praying to the Father. So as he's communing with the Father, he defines eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus makes it very clear that there is only one true living God, and that one true living God has sent Jesus, Savior, Christ, Messiah, to this earth to grant eternal life. Now, that, my friends, that statement of Jesus, by the way, this is the greatest verse in all of Scripture that defines eternal life. Jesus defines eternal life not as some location, but actually as a relationship with the only true living God and Jesus Christ. And right there, that divides the line between religions of this world and Christianity. Why do I say that? Well, by Jesus saying to the Father, you're the only true living God, who has sent me, Jesus the Christ, to earth. What Jesus is saying is that he came from where? Heaven. I mean, from where did the Father send Jesus? From heaven. And again, we know that because in verse 5, as Jesus continued to pray to the Father for himself, he said, "Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was." You see, that's a prayer you and I could never pray, because you and I never had glory with God before anything ever was, right? Only Jesus did. So what is Jesus claiming there? He is claiming that he is God. He is God the Son, who has been sent by the Father. He is God the Son, who enjoyed a perfect, holy relationship with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit throughout all eternity. The Son shared the glory and enjoyed the glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit before the world ever was. So, if someone doesn't believe, if a religion denies the deity of Christ, if they deny the eternality of Christ, if they deny the incarnation of Christ, meaning God the Son becoming a man, God the Son sent by God the Father, if they deny that, guess what? They're worshiping a different God. Because again, Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Where was he sent from? Well, what was Jesus praying? "Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory I had with you before the world was." Do you see it? So, do Jehovah's Witnesses worship the same God as we as Christians do? The answer is absolutely not. Why? Because they deny the deity of Christ. They deny that he existed throughout all eternity. They deny that they claim that he is a created being, not that he is divine, not that he is throughout all eternity. They would never agree that he enjoyed the glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit, that he is co-equal, co-eternal, consubstantial with the Father and the Holy Spirit. They deny that. They say that Jesus is a created being, like an angel is. Well, guess what? They then deny what Jesus says true eternal life is, that they worship you, praying to the Father, the only true living God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. How about the Mormons? Same thing. Mormons deny the deity of Christ. They believe he was created, meaning he could not have shared the glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit. In fact, they even deny the Trinity, and so do the Jehovah's Witnesses. So they do not worship the same God as we as Christians, because they deny that Jesus Christ is God. How about the Muslims? Same thing. I hear this all the time. "Well, Muslims and Christians worship the same God." No, 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 no. The Muslims deny the deity of Christ. They deny the eternality of Christ. They deny that he is divine. Again, they believe he's a created being. They say he's a good guy, great prophet, not even the greatest of the prophets in their realm of prophets. They say Muhammad is the greatest. Therefore, they do not worship the same God as Christians. They worship Allah, okay? It's roots in a moon god. They do not worship, according to what Jesus says, the one true living God who had sent Jesus Christ to this earth from the glory. Do you see it? And isn't it interesting? They would never say, they say that Jesus is a great prophet, they would never say that Jesus is a liar. Well, that's interesting. If Jesus is not a liar, which by the way, I agree with as well, well then when Jesus says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent," well, wait a second. Is Jesus telling the truth here? Because Jesus defines what eternal life is. Jesus defines who the only true living God is. And Jesus says, the only true living God is the one who sent Jesus to this earth. And where did Jesus come from? Well, Jesus makes it very clear. "I came from the glory. Father, restore to me the glory I had with you before the world ever was." Well, again, is Jesus telling the truth there? Or is he lying? Well, again, a Muslim is going to say, no way is he lying. But at the same time, they'll say, no way is he God. Well, wait, I don't get it. Jesus' words are clear. He is making a very clear statement that he came from the Father. Where's the Father? Heaven. Okay, if Jesus came from the Father, what was he doing there? Enjoying the glory with the Father and with the Holy Spirit before anything ever was. Very clear statement. And Jesus says, now this is eternal life. See, to deny the deity of Christ is to deny, well, eternal life, according to Jesus, is to deny true belief in the one true living God. That's the deal. Buddhists, they don't believe in the deity of Christ. Hindus, they don't believe in the deity of Christ. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And so, to deny these words of Jesus, again, he is praying these words. To whom? His heavenly Father. To deny his words and to say, well, we all worship the same God. Wait a second. There's no way. And as we're going to see on the second part of this show, in these few verses, John 17 verses 1 through 5, Jesus continues to make it abundantly clear that he's not just simply some good teacher, some nice prophet, some nice guy. Makes it abundantly clear that he is not a created being. Oh, we're going to see the words of Jesus in his prayer to the Father, and we're going to see exactly who Jesus claimed to be. More in a few moments.
You're listening to Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic from his church location in Croatia. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go with a support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, where each week Andrew gives the Word of God via live webcast. For more information about service times and directions to Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, please find a link to their site at gracenetradio.com. And now, back to Hot Topics. Here again is Dr. Andrew Vuksic.
Welcome back, everybody, to Hot Topics, where today we are discussing a very hot topic in the world, actually, I think, throughout the history of Christianity. The question is, do all religions, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, the Muslims, and on and on and on, do all religions worship the same God, including us as Christians? Do we all worship the same God? Well, the answer is absolutely not. And if you were with us on the first part of the show, we were looking at John 17, verses 1 through 5, where Jesus was praying his high priestly prayer to his Father in the presence of his 11 disciples. And it was there that early Friday morning, a few short hours before Jesus would be, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane and betrayed and arrested and eventually crucified. It was there that early Friday morning that Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven, again, in front of his disciples. I mean, you imagine that scene. And he communed with the Father. And it's interesting because we know that throughout the Gospels, we see that Jesus was constantly praying, constantly in communion with his Father in the power of the Spirit. Yet it's rare that we get a lot of content of Jesus's actual prayers in the Gospels. I mean, we'll get a sentence here, a couple sentences there, but we don't usually get the full content of his prayers until we come here to John 17. And we get massive content. Again, as I said at the first part of the show, in the first part of Jesus' prayer, he prays for himself, that he would be returned to the glory that he had with the Father and the Spirit before the world was. He then prays for his 11 disciples who were there present with him, and then he prays for us, people who would eventually become disciples of Jesus, like us, through the teachings of the 11 whom had been inspired by the Holy Spirit to pen the pages of the New Testament. So, in this prayer here, we get a backstage pass. We get to see incredible content of Jesus' prayer to the Father. And it also, as a side note, this prayer here also is a prelude to what Jesus is now doing in heaven for us, Christian. What is he doing? He's interceding for us. What is he praying to the Father? You know, what is he saying? Well, I think it's pretty safe to say that the same words he was praying for us back then, And praying for the 11 back then are the same words that he's praying for us now. For instance, Father, I'm not going to take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one. Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. These are things that Jesus is praying for us right now, interceding for us now in heaven. Another one he says is, Father, I want them to be with me where I am so they may see my glory. How great is that? Jesus is praying us to heaven, Christian. That's amazing, right? Back to our topic here. Again, in the first part of this prayer, as Jesus prays to the Father for himself, he makes it abundantly clear what eternal life is. In verse 3, he says, this is eternal life, that they may know you. Again, he's praying to the Father, that they may know you. And then he defines who the Father is, the only true living God. And Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You see that? By adding that, Jesus drew a clear line in the sand. There is one true living God, the true living God, who sent Jesus Christ to this earth. Well, wait a second, Andrew. You know, some people will say, well, that doesn't mean that he came from heaven. It just means that the Father sent him. Just like, Andrew, maybe you were sent by God to Croatia to minister to the people there. No, there's a little difference. I came from South Florida to Croatia. Where did Jesus come from? Well, he tells us very clearly in his prayer, verse 5, now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. What is Jesus saying? He came from heaven. What is Jesus saying? He's eternal. He enjoyed the glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit. When? Before the world ever was. Therefore, Jesus is not a created being. He is the creator, right? Jesus is not limited. Jesus is not an angel created by God, like the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons would say. Jesus is not simply a good prophet, a great teacher, a great moral man, like the Muslims would say. No, Jesus the Christ is God, God the Son, who has been sent from heaven, where he enjoyed the glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Again, one God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-eternal, consubstantial. Okay? Which means that all other religions in the world are worshiping a different God, which is no God at all, a false God. Well, wait a second, Andrew, why do you say that? I'm not saying that Jesus said it. You want to have eternal life? To be able to worship the true living God? Well, you've got to believe in the one and only true living God who sent his Son to this earth. Where did he send him from? Heaven. What was he doing in heaven? Enjoying the glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit before the world was. Do you see what Jesus is saying here? Jesus is saying, I'm eternal. Jesus is saying, I'm God. In fact, interestingly, he starts out his prayer in verse 1. He says, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and he said, Father. Stop right there. Did Jesus ever claim to be God? Oh, gosh, everywhere in the Gospels. Well, how do you say that, Andrew? Just on that word, Father? Absolutely. You need to understand, no Jewish person back then would have ever referred to God in that intimate way as Father. Interestingly, didn't Jesus teach us the Our Father? How are we supposed to pray? Our Father, intimacy. You see that? Well, Jesus broke all the religious rules back then by referring to God as Father. Now, some people, like again, the Mormons or the Muslims or the Jehovah's Witnesses or all other world religions who deny the deity of Christ, they'll say, ah, there's your evidence right there. He, as a son, a subordinate, less than, inferior, look what he's doing. He's praying to God as Father, like a normal human would pray. Thus, that shows that Jesus is a created being. No. You always interpret scripture with other scripture. Are there other places in the Gospels, specifically here in John's Gospel, where Jesus refers to God as his Father? The answer is yes. In fact, a great place to look is John chapter 5, where Jesus had healed a man on the Sabbath. And you know the Gospels, that was a big no-no to the hypocritical religious leaders of that time, and they were looking to nail Jesus. And we pick up the story in John chapter 5, verse 16. After he had healed the man, we are told, for this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things, healing on the Sabbath. I mean, can you imagine that? But Jesus answered them. Watch this. My Father is working until now, and I myself am working. You see how Jesus referred in front of the religious leaders to God as his Father. Now watch this. John tells us, verse 18, for this reason, therefore, the Jews, referring to the Jewish leaders, were seeking all the more, not simply to persecute Jesus. Oh, they raised the stakes. John says they wanted to kill him. Why, John? He tells us. Because Jesus was not only, in their minds, breaking the Sabbath, but watch this. He also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Every time Jesus referred to God as Father, what was Jesus saying from his own lips? I am equal with God. Why? Because he is God. God the Son, the second person of the Trinity. And again, back to John 17, that's why Jesus could pray to the Father in verse 5. Father, glorify me. Again, God says clearly in Scripture, he will not share his glory with another. Well, let's see. He's not sharing his glory with another. Jesus is not asking for God to break his word and share his glory with Jesus just because Jesus was a nice guy. No. Glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. What was Jesus saying about himself? I'm God. He's making himself equal to God, which again, all other world religions deny. And therefore, if they deny the deity of Christ, if they deny the eternality of Christ, well, guess what? They're not worshiping the one true living God. Because again, Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may worship you, they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So Jesus, every time he prayed and said, Father, what was he making himself equal to? He's making himself equal to God. Even the enemies of Jesus understood that. Let's keep going in his prayer. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you, Father, gave him, the Son, authority over all flesh. Now that's interesting. Authority over all flesh. Who has all authority? God. Yeah. What is Jesus saying? He has all authority. Therefore, what is Jesus saying about himself? I am God. In fact, in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus said, I hold the key. Who's the one who holds the key? The person who has all authority, right? And in Revelation chapter 1, Jesus says in verse 17, he says to John, don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. Who controls life and death? Who controls eternal life and eternal damnation? Well, it's real simple. The one who has the keys, Jesus the Christ. In fact, he says in chapter 3 of Revelation to the church in Philadelphia, he refers to himself as one who is holy, one who is true. He has the key of David. He opens doors that no one can shut, and he shuts doors that no one can open. In other words, he's saying he holds the keys to salvation. But of course, again back to John 17, Jesus said that he has authority over all flesh, that to all whom the Father has given him, it's the doctrine of election, he, the Son, will give eternal life. How about that one? Who's the one who gives eternal life? God does. What is Jesus saying about himself? I'm God. That's why he says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true living God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. In this prayer here, John 17, 1 through 5, Jesus makes it abundantly clear that he is the eternal, co-equal, consubstantial living God, co-equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit, enjoying glory with the triune God throughout all eternity. He had been sent to this earth by God. He prays to his Father, calling him Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus has all authority to grant eternal life, and those whom the Father gives to the Son gives eternal life. How amazing is that? Do all religions worship the same God? Absolutely not. Only those who worship the God that Jesus defines in the Scripture are those who worship the one true living God. There are not many roads that lead to the same God. It's very clear. A person has to believe, number one, that they're wretched sinners and that they are in desperate need of a Savior to save them from their sins, to save them from eternal damnation. A person has to believe that God is a just judge and must punish sin. And if he punishes us, we're going straight to hell. Most religions don't believe that. Or if they believe that, they say, well, we can pay for our sins through our own efforts. Just being good enough, moral enough, do this enough, do that enough. And you can just look around the world to see how good they actually think they're being by killing people for the name of their God. We as Christians understand there's nothing that we can do through our own efforts to pay for our sins and to get forgiveness of sins and to get to eternal life. That's why we need someone to do it for us. Who is the one? The perfect one. The perfect one of heaven whom the Father has sent to this earth. Jesus the Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, born without sin, the perfect God-man, living here on earth, fulfilling all righteousness in our place for us, then going to the cross and allowing our unrighteousness to be placed on him, our sins to be placed on him, and he was punished in our place as our substitute. How about that one? He died the death we deserve, but 3 days later, he rose in victory, paying for our sins in full in terms of that day of judgment. And Jesus the Christ, the perfect one from heaven, is the one who has all authority. He holds the keys to life and death. He holds the keys to eternal life. Those whom the Father gives him, he in turn gives eternal life. Behold, he was dead, but he's alive forevermore because he is the eternal one, the divine one, the King of kings. And he offers salvation as a gift. That's why it's called grace. And friends, my prayer is this, that you know that you know that you're worshiping the true living God, the one and only true living God. How do you know that? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, whom the Father sent to be the perfect substitute and sacrifice to pay for your sins in full in terms of that day of judgment? And do you believe it where you've repented of your sins, cried out for mercy, Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner? And do you believe that if he grants you mercy, that you have forgiveness of your sins in terms of that day of judgment? Do you believe that if he grants you mercy, that you have the gift of eternal life? Because Jesus says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.